Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, all flight controllers, I'm going around the horn. Make your gun or goes based on the data you have. Bernard LOS, I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're yelling, fine.
Okay, retro, go. Fido, go. Guide,
go.
Control,
go.
Telcom,
go.
GNC,
go.
Econ,
go.
Surgeon,
go.
Capcom, we're go to continue PDI.
Coming to you live from the Haunted Studios in Shingle Springs, California, this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio with your host, John Almada.
And it's a great Saturday night here in Sierra Nevada. Turn the volume up. I'm in Studio B. We were going to start out of Studio A tonight. I had a broadcast computer problem. And that's a nice part of having an alternate studio. It's a luxury that turns out to be pretty darn handy to have in your back pocket when you've got equipment troubles. So a little memory problem on my computer that does all the chat room stuff. So I decided to just switch over, and we got that all squared away. Just moved back into my place. I move out of here and go up to the main ranch house during the winter because it's so cold out here in these remote buildings. So I move in and stay there and then do my shows when and where possible out of Studio A for the most part. Saves money on heating and all that. But anyway, we're back and spring has sprunged here in the Sierra Nevadas and we have a lot going on. As you can tell, I am back at full power and the pipes are sounding really good, I think. And a little bit of a cough. God, we've got all these things going on with the oak trees putting out all kinds of pollen, and everybody's hacking and wheezing. I don't know about you guys, but I see a bunch of good friends are in. We've got Dan Adams is there. Dan Adam. I'm sorry. Giraffe Angel is there with her little duck. That's cute. Guest 29830, welcome. You are from France. Jeannie Marie out there in Georgia. Yes, she's a real Southern belle. We have her. And Scott Wise, my good buddy from GHI, Ghost Hunters Incorporated. And we've had them on a couple of times recently. They have, the ability to get some amazing EVPs. And we're going to be definitely working with them some more in the future. I would love to go hunting with them out there at Gettysburg and all the places they have near by where they're at near Pennsylvania. So it is good to be back in the seat doing my thing. Interesting times here at the ranch. I'll relate a few things going on. My father, as you well know, has had his challenges, and we've had a kind of a tough time of it. This is why the shows have been so spotty and I've been so difficult to find, because he is really taking a turn for the worse, and it's just, this is part of the process with stroke victims, and we're at a point where things are getting really iffy, and you never know from one minute to the next what's going to happen. So he's kind of identified me as the problem with electricity in the house, and so he has a real issue with me right now. So I kind of disappear when that all starts. It's my time to just take a exit stage left, when that starts. And he is, I think right now he's on some medication. So it's been an interesting day. I did go out today, and I've taken up the hobby of metal detecting on top of my paranormal habits. And I went out and I found Italian silver today at a park that I was at. I actually found a religious icon, a St. Mary's religious medal made out of Italian silver. So it's 0.8 something silver, and God knows what else they've got in there. But I found silver, by God. So it's good to be finding things like that, a little treasure. But tonight, you know, Soulstream is back. We are doing our thing. And I'm going to definitely open up the floor for readings. I do have a caller out there that's been very patient. So tonight we're just going to do what we have always done in the past. We're going to get back on the horse and go in there and just start doing readings. And I may even try a little bit of online EVP. And we'll just play it by ear. But you're all invited to call in and you know, share anything you've got. It's open mic night. We're going to have ourselves a great time. And we'll be on again tomorrow night doing the same thing. I don't have any guests lined up. I have kind of had to, because of the situation with Dad, kind of just backed off on having guests in. GHI was a different story because they're real flexible and really a great bunch of guys there. So they were great about that. But we're going to be really careful about scheduling people in for a while until whatever happens with Dad happens. So that's what's going on. And I see Holistic Life Designs has joined us. Hello. A nice birthday cake there, too. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and take this call. And got the little yellow bird computer clicking. Okay, there we go. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
It's been an interesting night, as you've heard some of my prattling on. But, yeah, I'm doing great. I feel pretty good. I've been out to... And outside, and the spring has been beautiful out here in the Sierras. So where are you from, and what's your name?
I'm calling from Michigan, and my name is Natasha.
Okay.
So, and I am calling to get a reading on a relationship issue. There is a gentleman that I had, you know, a long-term relationship with, and we had a little bit of a explosive argument in middle February. That kind of brought things to an abrupt end. And we had not communicated at all since that time until I got a phone call from him yesterday, or I should say last night. And the phone call got interrupted on his part. And, you know, I haven't heard back from him yet. So I guess what I'm trying to call and find out is if you get any energy on the relationship, you know, reconnecting, I mean, was, you know, is that his way of reaching out to try and, you know, sort things out or smooth things over and reconnect? Or do you see this relationship as truly being over? Or I'm kind of confused about, you know, what that phone call was about yesterday. It didn't really go anywhere, but he was supposed to call back and he never did, so.
Well, I'll tell you. Relationship readings are always interesting, and I'm a medium, so I usually talk to dead people, but what I generally get with these kind of things, I'll get an impression just based on what you've said and listening to what's going on, and so there's some common sense stuff that we put in, a few things that I might pick up just energetically as you're talking about, but what just strikes me right off the bat is this, you know, this not calling back. You know, that's a pretty big danger signal right there. And that he's, you know, the fact he would call you and then not call back and be all over the map on this kind of thing, there's a lot of issues there. You know, when this kind of thing is happening, it's just maybe the time has come to be thinking about other potential relationships. That would just be my reading right off the bat, mm-hmm. is that when this kind of thing is happening, and that much has been, you know, there's been that much bad water down the river per se. That is a pretty good indicator of what the future brings. You know, the past and the future are often interconnected, and I just get the sense that this isn't, you know, you can hook back up, but unless you really get some counseling and some things to tools to help you deal with whatever this break was between the two of you. Really, it isn't going to go anywhere. you know.
Right.
And so it doesn't matter how you feel or how you want it to go. These are dynamics that when they happen, they happen. And it takes both parties working together. And if he's calling and he's not calling back, when he says he's going to do that, and it's been through all these events like you're talking about, my initial impression is right off the bat that you've got a pretty broken watch there, my friend, and I'm really sorry about it, because it doesn't sound like it's been a lot of fun.
No, it hasn't, but I think you're probably right on this one, so thank you so much.
I'm really sorry, too, but you know, Hannah, honestly, you've got a lot to offer, and if you just, there's always a little trick. I was just on Z-Talk Radio with my friend Elizabeth Rose, and she had me on, and we were talking about how you can project for things that are good and healthy for you. And this is something I've used on the show before, and I'll just pass it on to you. It's just sit down and do a 8x10, you know, 8x11.5 sheet of paper in big ink, all the things you want in a future relationship, and just write it down. And you don't have to get real detailed. Just like single word qualities in the kind of man, you know. And when you get that filled up to what you think would be kind of the ideal thing, it's kind of like placing an order to the universe. I go stick that thing on the refrigerator, or stick it in the washing machine. Something that when you go by, you'll see it there, but it won't like totally attract your attention. And what that does is it kind of connects to your subconscious and to your higher self, and it'll start start a process going. And I would lay a pretty good bet down that you would probably meet an interesting person within 4 months if you do that. So that would be my advice for a little more hopeful future for you.
I'm definitely going to take that. Thank you so much.
All right, hon. Well, hey, you take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye now. And we have another caller, and again, the number is 646-478-0377. Also in the chat room, we have Scott Weidge, GHI, is saying he wants some psychometry. So, by gosh, we are going to do some psychometry later. So we'll do that when moments of import arrive that drive us there. So we will do that. Anyway, let's go ahead and bring in the next caller from, oh, dear God. You know, turning 51, your eyes go to hell in a handbasket. And let me tell you, I got the wrong glasses on for this job right now. Well, give me a second. Okay, area code 254. You're going to be on the air. I've never seen 254. Where is 254?
Texas.
Oh, heck, Texas. I like Texas. I was born in West Texas.
Where?
I was born in El Paso, Texas at William F. Beaumont Army General Hospital at Fort Bliss.
I'm at Fort Hood.
I'm an Army brat.
And you know what else?
You mentioned
your eyes, and the most bizarre thing, I've been having issues with my eyes. But anyway, you know, I was real open to anything before you mentioned eyes, right before you picked up my call. It's like, oh, my God, is he already zoning in on my eyes? Anyway, I just wanted to put it out there that, I've been trying to meet my spiritual guides, and I say that plurally. I'm sure there's more than one. But in heaven, you know, I come from a place of doubt and skeptic. I'm a big skeptic, and I guess what I'm trying to say is I believe, but there's a deep, deep part of me that just won't connect. I hear and I see when I meditate, but then that creeping doubt comes in. Oh, come on. You made that up. You know, oh, that message, you made that up. Oh, that voice, you know, that's telling you all these good things or trying to talk to you and guide you. You know, there's that little part of me that's, says, ah, bull crap. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I want to believe that when I'm being spiritual, you know, I'm going to sit and get quiet and, you know, just open, that these things that come to me and these things that are very dear to me when I meditate, I want to believe it. and I want to know, I don't know what I'm asking.
Well, I know where you're going with this. And by the way, what's your name?
Cherry.
Okay, Cherry. It's when this happens, you know, when people first start to do this kind of work, and I don't know, how long have you been meditating? I mean, is it, you know, less than 5 years?
20.
Holy moly, you 20 and you're still, okay,
well, here's the truth. I took a big spiritual hit. I've stayed away from meditating for about 10 to 14 years, and I'll tell you why. I got real cocky and thought I was really good at meditating, which I was, which if you measure it, I don't know how you do that, but if you were forced to, I got to the point where I could, you know, lower my blood pressure almost instantly. I got real cocky and arrogant. I defeated the purpose of meditating. I started measuring it.
I'll tell you what.
Right?
I know what you're talking about. There's a point where in spiritual development where you start hitting real high points and then you go on plateaus and that's natural. You know, in any sport, for example, if you do sports.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Well, I challenged my plateau. I said, hit me with all you got. I literally.
Oh, God.
Yes, I did. I went
there. No.
My world got rocked. And I mean, if you owned it, it was gone. If you loved it, it went away. I mean, seriously, it got demonstrated in a big way. Who's in charge? And I wasn't it.
Okay, so you've got doubt, but you've also had, you know, positive affirmation in a way that you sort of opened up for that one. I mean, they came and kicked your butt.
It did, and now when I meditate, I want to meet the good guy, the guy that's going to help me, or the girl. I get a big sense it's some big Indian guy, but I don't really know. But I really need to reconnect. I've just began to go back and get, you know, I'm not afraid anymore. I learned my lesson. I'm ready again. I was kicked pretty hard. But I'm grateful. It's just like, okay, I got it. I really got it. There's some deep changes
You did a good thing. In quite an interesting way, you signed up for this, and you did push the boundary, and you learned a really tough lesson there. You know, but when you're doing meditation, I mean, with 20 years under your belt, you know all the basic process. You understand this whole thing. It's just getting back on the horse. You know, it's like me with my dad, all this stuff going on with my father, and getting away from the show and all the things that have happened and things that I never would have believed could have happened have gone forward and happened that I'm still shaking my head going, how could this be? But I find myself just looking at it and saying, okay, you know, take a breath, just go do it. Don't worry about what's going to happen. Don't think about all the other, you know, what if and what could this mean and all that. Just do it. And that's the thing I get with you is just do it. You don't need to worry about the reality of the thought. When they put these things in my head, you know, I mean, I'm a medium and I sit back and I'll go, all of a sudden I'll just get impressions. And I've learned just by blind faith in what they're doing that I'll get what I need when I need it. And then I let go of it. And what's happened has been, it's like with the eyes. You know, it's like I normally wear my other glasses. I grabbed my father's by mistake, so I've been. it was obviously for a reason that I'm this
eye. So funny.
I look at meditation as being a release, a relaxing thing. You know, 10 to 15 minutes is good. And today, when I was on Z-Talk Radio with Elizabeth Rose, and I was preparing to do readings for that show, and I didn't have time to stop and actually do a formal meditation, so I was out pulling trees around and chopping them up from all the damage from our snows that hit up here. And I was dragging these trees up, and I was putting them in the fire, and I just I talked to my guide, and I said, look, you know, here's my problem. And I was worried about doing readings, and, you know, he came back with, what are you worried about? Just
right.
do it. And
right.
then I said, but I don't have time to meditate. And he says, you are meditating. Just worry
Thank
about
you. I was just going to tell you, you know, there's walking meditation, there's towing meditation, there's pulling tree meditation. So, yeah. Yeah, he's
exactly.
right.
Yeah, it was like, his name is, my guy, now, and this is one of the things that you brought up earlier. You brought up about guides, and I have a number of them, but right now, in this time of my life, I have, I've got a warrior guide, and
mm-hmm.
he is from India, and his name is Ganda,
yeah.
and he's a really neat guy, and he came into my influence on a trip to Sedona last year. And announced himself very dramatically, and I got the point that he was there, and he has been a constant presence, and he's been there to help me through with my father and deal with all the challenges that are going on here, and I have found him to be invaluable, and but he's made it clear it's not a permanent thing, you know, he's going to be here, and then I move back. The other guides, and so they come and go. It's not.
I'm jealous.
It's
I have to tell you, I'm so jealous because you know you can talk about him like you met him and shook his hand and know what he looks like. I want that. I hear and don't see, and boy, that's a reflection of my entire life, by the way. So you know, I'm not a bit amazed that I have this difficulty in my spiritual life as well. But I don't want that. I know that I can rise above that, but I just don't know how. I just don't know how.
If you need anything that could be more direct, it's just set it aside. Put it. If you need to have that stick that says, I've got doubt. If you need to have it, that's fine. What you do is you put a little can outside in your meditation. You have your stick for you take your stick off and you go put it over there in the can. And then you go in and do your meditation. Then you can go back to your stick when you're done. John Denver, God rest his soul. He was big into martial arts, and I'm trying Aikido. He was big into Aikido, and he went to a dojo out in Colorado. And I read one of the books that had, was talking about what he did there. And there was a picture that showed leave your ego outside the door.
Right.
And they had the place for your shoes, and then they had a bucket for your ego. And it said to put your ego in here before you go in the dojo. And
I love it.
Exactly the advice that I'm being told to give you is put your ego in that little bucket. And then go in and do your thing, and don't worry about the process, don't worry about the mechanics, just do it.
And my ego, ego means, that I would, my values and my criteria and my measuring stick, right? That is what I need to leave behind, the me part of meditation, the me part.
This is like going out and doing weightlifting. It's like going out and doing... When we do meditation, we do this for a reason. We're doing this to develop our mental faculties and spiritual faculties together, and to unite them and to bring them into sharp focus. And then we're able to take that and go into aligning our chakras and doing the energy movement that we need to do.
Right, right.
And when you get into if you're into Eastern philosophies, so that's chi. You're moving chi around. There's
right,
other ways.
Right.
It's many different systems. But the bottom line is losing yourself in yourself and forgetting about all the rest of it. And
right.
when you come out refreshed, have you ever been, for example, I live in the Sierra Nevadas, and I'm very big on going out every year trout fishing. And one of the things I love about trout fishing is that I can lose myself in it, just like metal detecting that I've taken up. I lose myself in the moment, and I'm able to completely separate my mind from all my cares and deal with this task that's in front of me. And, with my father's situation, I need that, and it's the only thing really in my sanity. So I do that for a lot of good reasons, and I sense that with you. It would really benefit you just to see it that way. See it as a place to put aside and just go. Just be happy.
Right. I am when I meditate. It's when I have to come back into this, I call it my human avatar, I lug around, I guess I just pick that bucket back up, you know? And, you know, I guess I'm just really just now getting back into meditation. And, you know, all those little fresh, brand new little doubts and concerns I didn't have when I meditated years and years ago, those kind of went away. I guess I'm rusty, and also I'm a little bit afraid. I don't want to get cocky again. And so when I reach the point of, you know, losing myself, which actually came about very quickly this time when I picked it back up just recently meditating, I'm getting messages and I'm getting, you know, pictures and images very quickly now, where it took me years to get as far as I am already back when I meditated. Boom, there it was. And just like I meditated and didn't miss any time. Anyway, it's my main thing was, who's talking to me? Who is that? And because I'm reading a book, and it's talking about Gaidza, you know, with an S. And all my life I thought you only got one, and now I'm open to the idea there's probably more than one, which you confirmed. So I was just curious when I called, you know, gee, do you see anybody? You know, you see dead people. I probably have a dead Indian hanging around me. I don't know. So that's my impression.
Well, you're keyed in on the Indian, so obviously there's something there. And what the best thing you can do is just go ask the name.
Ah.
I mean, sometimes it's just a matter of, as simple as that, is just go in and just be direct and say, I'd like to know who you are in your own good time, when the time is correct and the time is right for me. Please reveal yourself. And if, you know, and they may do it in strange ways. It could start showing up as a particular name keeps showing up over and over again. In my case, in Sedona, I was hiking and suddenly saw I saw an energy go flying by me, and it looked like a blanket.
Oh, how nice.
It was this wavering energy, and it was red with all these different colors, but it looked like a blanket, and it was about 150 feet to my right on this hiking trail, near one of the vortexes, and it was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. It was moving like crazy. And the minute it did that, I get the name Gonda, and I'm going, what the hell?
So I love it.
I made a mental note of it, and I went and looked it up back at the hotel, and looked it up, and sure enough, it's a real name, and it's this Indian fella. And he turned out to be a real historical personage. He actually was a real individual. And he's there just to guide me through what's coming, you know. And it's been an exceptionally challenging time, because I lost a lot of the things that I really valued, you know, my regular. I had an operation. I was in an emergency room, and then in surgery and recovery and all that. My dad's situation, all these things going on. But he's given me something to work with and work with him. And he keeps showing himself, you know, that he's around. And so I just have learned to trust that. And when the time comes for him to be done with me, he'll pass me on to the next lesson, and I'll go on to the next thing. And
my gosh, you've been just so helpful. Thank you so much. I know I'm scattered right now. I just got off work, and I'm a little twisted. But that's me naturally. But you've really helped, because I didn't know I could ask, hey, who's talking to me? Because I never got into that side of meditation. I just learned that technique and got very good at it. You know, I did it for more physical reasons, high blood pressure. So I never bought into the whole spiritual stuff. This is a new part of me that's developing. So I didn't know, and it's just my current readings that I'm doing that. I was introduced to chakras, and I'm just learning, you know, that there's another side of meditation that's even more valuable, almost, you know, the soul.
Oh, yeah.
you did all
the prep work, and you got really good at it. Now's the point where you see some of the flip side and some of the things that make meditation what it is. And with your spirit, what it is—that's the real underlying value—is all the things that, yeah, it has a biologically it has great value, but it does so much more. And you're just, you know, I really wish you a really good exploration, because you have every right to question spiritual entities that are going to be entering into your life, and they will they will do it on their own damn good time. That's the thing I found, is when they're ready to talk to you, they're going to do that, and you can't make it happen one darn bit sooner. And that's been my experience with it. And I've just gone with the flow. I just looked at it and went, when you're ready to talk to me, you know, go for it, dude.
Yeah. Well, this guy has no problem talking. It's just, you know, like, sometimes I doubt my sanity. It's like, you know, because it's not like someone standing right in front of me, but it kind of is. I clearly hear the words. But then I think, yeah. Oh, I just made that up.
No, no. It, when you do that, it's the worst possible thing to do is to think that right off the bat. Just immediately write it down or grab a tape recorder and rattle it off and then get it into a journal, because you'll start to see patterns.
Okay.
And when you do that, you're gonna be very surprised at some of the things that come out, because once they see you're serious about recording what they're saying, they'll get a little more insistent, and then they'll start working with you more. So I would record things like that on paper or tape and get it where you can then go back and look at it as a whole, and you'll start to see the an underlying pattern, and they'll start revealing more. And they may actually get clairaudient with you, where you'll hear them, literally hear them with your ears, or you may see them. And, I've been blessed with all these things have happened to me over time.
Uh-huh.
Not always in the order which I'd like, in the order I need, and that's going to happen for you. And I really sense that with you, and you really got a great spirit. You're a positive, you know, wonderful lady, and you've got a brilliant future ahead of you with this.
Oh, my. Wow.
Yeah. So,
thank you, I think. I mean, I'm not supposed to judge, but here I am going, oh, wow, thanks. But thank you, really. I need the support right now. Yeah, thank you.
All right, Sherry.
Well, you have a beautiful show, and thanks for sharing so much time.
Okay, you're welcome, then.
And I have a good one.
Okay, you too. And Texas is the greatest.
All right. Yeah, it is. Bye-bye.
Okay.
I don't know. Bye-bye.
See you later. All right. And let's see. We've got we got a pretty dedicated crew out there in the chat room. We got Gerber Daisy TM has showed up. Hi, Gerber. Big hug to you. Giraffe Angel. Dan Adams is, of course, holding number two slot here. He was the first one to show up there. He's always the first one in. And we got guest 30298, and we got Holistic Life Designs with the birthday cake. Jeannie Marie, a real Southern Belle. And Scott Wise, well, yes, let me go back. Scott Wise, DHI, is here. Okay, and we have a caller from 702 area code. I'm going to go ahead and bring them in. So I can get the little machine to do a thing. There we go. We got the mic up. 702, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
I kind of jumped in on your show. It's the first time I've listened in. So hearing what the last one talked about, that was really very nice, because I'm kind of in the same process, actually.
What's your name, by the way?
Heather.
Okay, Heather, and where are you at in the country?
I am in Henderson, Nevada.
Oh, okay. I know where Henderson is. It's right by Las Vegas. In fact, I remember many years back, a certain ammonium perchlorate explosion out there.
Yes, I watched that on the news.
Yeah, I mean, it blew the holy hell out of that desert out there. So, yeah, I know Henderson, and it's a great place. So you're having this same kind of issues that Sherry had? I mean, meditation?
Oh, maybe not issues. Oh, say that again. Sorry.
Well, you're having the same kind of concerns, issues, thoughts as our partner?
I would say I wouldn't really call them concerns. Mine is more like moving into this and accepting it and actually wanting to find more, opening up to it. There you go. I'm having it more in my dreams, though, not so much in waking life. I've heard a few little things here and there that were odd, but I put them together. So it's opening up for me. Just discovered one of my angels' names, which was really a blessing.
Okay.
And I think I have another one. That's where I was going to ask you, if you don't. I'm not really sure how your show works or what you ask the callers to do. So without overstepping my boundaries.
No, don't worry. I mean, we're really free and easy here. And, sometimes the way I've worked here on this show is we kind of do a little bit of everything. Tonight we're going to have some games. We're going to have some fun. Excuse me. We also do on-air EVP analysis, where we'll do and it's actually called ITC, instrumental transcommunication. We'll do things with different paranormal devices and bring spirit voices through, which seems to work really well. We have a great time with that. Been a while since I've done it, but that kind of thing happens. I do readings. I'll listen to different, things that come through. Different people come in the door, and we have theme nights where tonight seems to be the theme night with the whole thing with meditation and meeting guides and knowing, who's coming into your sphere of existence. And you talked about the angels. Now that's interesting. You have two of them, you said.
Well, I've been told I have 14. I've been told I have a lot of them, but the one I know is Samuel, Sammy. He came through as Sammy once, and then I was like, that's got to be Samuel, not Sammy. I don't know what angel we've got. But then again, I don't want to second guess it. And then that was the angel. And then I've got the one thing I was going to see if maybe you picked up on anything was a spirit guide named Xavier, which was very interesting to me. It came to me through meditation. And I thought, well, that's a strange name to have just hit you like that. I don't know anybody around me named that. And it was, at first it was either Xavier or Xavier, and then I used my pendulum and was able to spell it like I thought it was Z-A-B-U-R, or Xavier, Z-A-B-U-R. And then when I used my pendulum, it was Z-A-B-E-R with a little dash over the E, it seemed. I could be wrong. But,
that's an interesting name. That is really uncommon, and that's kind of a nice clue for you to go look at. That Gerber Daisy says, haha, I call my spirit guide dude.
I go by duder or dudette, whatever, no?
Dude. That particular name, probably, just like my particular, name with Ganda showing up and finding out who he was and that he was an actual historical personage, and he really is a strong... He's really strong men, and he's really there to provide strength for me at this time. I mean, going through this, some of the things I'm going through, and my family is going through. I'm literally the head of the family now, and I'm having to face these things down and deal with them. So that's the reason they come in the way they do. I don't know what life challenges you're going through right now, but what I can say is this. That particular individual that's coming through for you, it's tied to changes in your current life path. I mean, the way that you're going, there's been a change. Now, I am not, again, I'm just coming back on from having been off for quite a while, so I'm not totally where I was before, but the sense I get of it, there has been a change, a big one for you, and things
huge,
are going
through.
Yeah, so I'm, and I don't know what that change is, but I do know they appear for these kinds of reasons. The 14 angels is interesting to me because angels they're the kind of entities that seem to, they really don't care about names, and they just do that for us. They kind of like, okay, if you want to call me dude.
You
want
to hear something funny? Well, I'll tell you something funny real quick. Sorry about cutting you off, but... when I discovered the name was, it came through as Sammy at first, and I'm like, oh, it's got to be Samuel. And then I went to bed later, and woke up the next day, and I was kind of journaling, and, I always process everything by writing it down, and I go, oh my gosh, I just realized ever since I was a little girl in grade school, and certainly more so in high school, and then when I got to become a mother and was thinking about names for my children, the name that bugs me the most out of everything is Sam. I don't know why. I know a few Sams. They're very lovely people. I just can't stand the name. And I found it very amusing that coming upon this discovery of his name was Samuel, I was like, go figure, I almost took it as like, okay, I get it. You got a good sense of humor,
I think that those things that make us uncomfortable are often the things that we need to actually deal with and look more closely at so we can overcome that. And it's like I was married about 10 years ago. I was married and I had I won't say my ex-wife's name, but that name grates on my nerves, something fierce, and I've had to learn to when new people come in and I meet a lady with that same name, I had to really learn to just put that aside and see that person as the unique individual they are. It doesn't matter about the code that they're called. It's,
right.
It's their own unique energy. So that's, I would really sense that's the lesson you're being taught there. Judge the energy of the person or entity in front of you, not the label. And
yeah.
You know that, and that's the key with that. It's really been a tough thing for me. I mean, I have to admit it. I mean, I went through a lot of pain because of this one individual. And when I got over it in the last year, and I've still got little twinges. You know, and I admit I'm human.
Yeah.
But you know, when you get over that and you can look past it and just move on and forget, you know, as much as you can about that and look at the value of people who come to you with these names that grated on you, you're taking a big step. So I mean, this guy, that's what that guy was doing. The guy's laughing his ass off.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So I that's the sense I get. Now the other 13, did you go through a period where you were like really accident prone?
I wouldn't say accident prone, but in 2008, there was a huge accident in my life, and that's actually what led me to being where I am. I don't recall a time where I was accident prone. Maybe
well,
just be forgetful.
Yeah, I really got the feeling that whatever this was about with all these other angels around you, it was like, You that's the sense I got of it. It was accident, and I was thinking, and again, I'm still getting back into my groove here, but
mm-hmm.
Where I was going with it, I thought that they were really working hard to keep you alive, and
yeah,
I guess that
was, I hit rock bottom.
Wow.
Yeah, I hit rock bottom. Yeah, I was, it was just a horrible, miserable time in my life that, yeah, it was just awful, and I would go into it, but I don't want to make it a pity party or a therapy session. So, but yeah, it was probably the worst. I've hit rock bottom twice in my life, and that was the worst. And I did contemplate suicide, and I've come a long way since then. And let me tell you, when people say that when bad things or negative or horrible things, or you're having to survive through something painful and just horrific, it opens up. It really does open up for something good to happen in your life.
I absolutely agree with that. I went through a period where I, very similar to you, you know, you're not the lone stranger. All of us have been through things like this, especially if you've got a few years on. I've had those two points in my life, and I think they're important milestones that you go through so that when you pass through that and you come out the other side and you've decided to stay around on the planet and continue on, you are much stronger as an individual. And I look back on it now, and I would not change a single thing about what led up to that, all the pain that I went through with it, and then the victory over it. You know, it really means something. It's like a graduation for you, because when you get through that and you can look at it and from the other side, and it's just it's an achievement, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
If you can keep the perspective that, oh my God, you know, yeah, that was bad, but look what I've learned from it, and then you can apply that to help other people. My goodness, that's just it's icing on the cake, you know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I mean, but you know, they really the sense I get about these angels, they really went overboard to keep you alive. You know, you obviously have a purpose here. You know, I mean, they were really working double time to keep you aboard. You know? Because you're
miserable. Yeah. Now, I have a question for you that kind of stemmed a question. Similar to spirit guides, how they come in when you need when you kind of need them, or they go on to the next person, or however that works. I'm still learning about it. Is it similar with angels? How, you know, I've had several people. Well, two people. One told me, "Oh man, you have a lot around you," and then one gave me the specific number of 14, which was my best friend's mother, who's intuitive.
Yeah.
Do they also, will angels also do the same thing where, you know, right now I might have, you know, a lot around me, but, and I'm, from some people I've heard hundreds, but not for myself, but I've heard that there are hundreds around you at all times. I'm still, you know, learning about that. But do they move on too? Like, say if I have 13 now, you know, in a year or two from now, could it possibly go back down to 6? Or, you know what I mean? Not that it really matters either way to me personally, but does that make sense?
Absolutely. You know, the universe is the universe is just intensely old. We have, you know, we live in a place with that's incredibly very variable, and there's all these different entities that come and go at all times. And there's multiple universes. And, we talk about portals in the paranormal, and there's all these things that go on and different types of entities, angels and, you name it, interdimensional portals or ghosts come through and things like that. You know, Scott Wise and I have talked a little bit about that on some of the shows. But they come and go as the need is, as your needs change and as their needs for you also change. That's the interesting part about it. Something I really was surprised to discover was that angels need you as much as you need them. They really are, it's not so much that they're here to serve us, but they get value from us too. We teach them by virtue of the fact that we're here doing what we do and going through the experiences we do. And we are literally living examples, living teachers being here that we've blinded ourselves by coming here and taking this physical form, and we're operating under an imperfection. And so when we do that and we're blind and we're living on our values and our wits and our instincts, they see us as being in very high regard. We're we are literally awesome to them, you know, in our blindness. That's how we are. So, but you know, as their needs change and the things that they have to do and the places they need to go, because they have lives too. It's not like they're every second of the day. I mean, how boring would it be to sit back and watch you sleep all night? They're there. You know, as long as they, there's no earthquakes coming. Okay, we're gonna go back and we'll go back to the angels' break room and talk about stuff. That's the kind of thing that goes on. And so they come and go, and depending on your path in life and what you're going through at the time, there's different ones that have different abilities, and you're going to be challenged to put a number on them at any one point. Yeah, 14. Yeah, that sounds about right. But you know, later on when you're really firing on all cylinders, you might only have 6. You know, I was surprised at some of the actual spirit voices we cut on EVP here back in 2 years ago, and I had angels coming through on tape telling me they were here in my home with me and were watching over me.
Awesome.
And they told me this directly on tape, and I was just blown away. You know, and I picked up like 3 of them that made their point, got their point across. And we've had not only angels, but those who have passed on come through. You know, human beings who are still human on the other side, they just don't have a body. And they come through. And these things are amazing. And we get great spirit voices. And it helps people. And they are just, I just get blown away by the things that happen when we do this work. So it's an amazing experience to see that, you know, at work. And in your particular case, you're over the hump with the really tough part of what you went through. Where do you think it goes next for you? I mean, where do you want it to go?
I would like to open up to the metaphysical side of me. I'm definitely a healer. I have a love for psychology. And a love for helping people. I've always been that way. I was always the the one that in the group that always talked to people, you know, and helped them off my intuition. I have a ton of people in my family on my mother's side. Great-great-grandmother was a medicine woman. Great-grandmother was an automatic writer. My grandmother is a Reiki healer and an intuitive. My mother is afraid of her gift, but she's got one, and I've seen it. I've seen her use it. She's just discovered angel cards. So I have wanted nothing more since I was in high school to, I'm going to be cheesy here for a second, but I have always wanted to be psychic. always, since I, you know, it was in my teens that discovered astrology. And so...
Well, you're already gifted, you know, you've already developed these relationships. You're, you know, all of us come into the world psychically gifted. And, you know, it's funny because children so often in paranormal programs are shown to be incredibly gifted and psychic. And as adults influence them, they lose that connection. And as they grow, there seems to be a natural, you know, shifting away from that and focusing more on the mission that they're on and away from that. But some retain that connection throughout their life. And I was lucky enough to be in a family where it was very open. We had that openness about it because, you know, I'm half Scottish Highlander, and so we've had this thing throughout the family. And, you know, my mother had it, and, you know, and we traced it all the way back to, what was it, Kansas, our original family, my mom's side that came from Kansas. We had a medium and, you know, other people with mystical inclinations in the family from that particular region, and they were all Scottish Highlanders. So it does seem to run in families, and you sound like you basically a carbon copy of me. But you've been psychic that whole time. You don't have to worry about it because you're already there. You know?
Yeah, I wouldn't have set it down for 10 years. I would be, you know, but I guess everybody feels that way. I see it in my daughters, too. We drove by a car accident down the freeway, and my daughter, who was, I think, 4 at the time, said, "Oh, he did this and this happened." And I was like, okay. She pretty much, you know, like there was a car on the side of the road, and it was already, they were cleaning it up, and there was a little bit of a debris left, and there was a white car up on the tow truck, and she pretty much told me what happened.
Yeah.
You know, it was pretty interesting.
How old was she?
I want to say she was 4. She's 5 now. She might have been 3.5, 4. She spoke very, very well for being young. Everybody always thinks she was older than she was because she learned to speak very, very early. So she was able to communicate to me, you know, very easily and with really good words, you know. And she said, "Well, he hit this person and did this, and then he blah, 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 but he's going to be okay." Or, like, you know, she went into telling me about him. I was like, oh, okay. And the fact that he was a guy and it wasn't a girl, and it was just very interesting. I was like, okay. You know.
Well, you know, the thing to do would be encourage. Don't discourage it when these things happen. Just ask more questions and be very positive about it, and don't give them any, you know, any negative response. I mean, that sounds like what you're doing is you're just taking it as a matter of fact thing and treat it as to what it is.
Oh yeah.
That's how my family. I mean, we didn't even worry. You know, it wasn't like. Like I was having spiritual experiences at age 5 that I remember, and seeing things that I didn't, you know, I wasn't sure what I was seeing, but I remember it clearly now and look back and go, wow, that was an amazing experience. But it was only when I was about 14 that I brought it up to my mother when we were fishing up in Sierra Nevada. So I said, "Hey, do you ever hear voices out when we're out fishing?" She goes, "Oh, yeah." And I go, "What do you think that is?" And then we got into a long talk about spirits and the different things that happened, and I opened up to a few things I was having happen, and she just said, "Oh yeah, and here's how the family is, and this is the kind of things we do, and da 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 da," and it was all
nice.
Yeah, and it was just neat because I realized, okay, I can open up and talk about this stuff, and but when I would say it before that talk happened, I would say things, and Mom would just nod, you know, and but, you know, it was at the time I was ready to open up about it that stuff happened. But I'll tell you what, I turned, when I was age 17, I got really out of control. And we had a place, it was a vacation home in Paradise, California. And it was my great-grandparents' home that we had inherited. And it was uber haunted. And to get me under control, because I was doing things I shouldn't be doing, I was left for three months alone to clean up the property and live in this haunted home. And I got my ass kicked by relatives from the other side who basically put me in
my
place, scared the holy hell out of me. And I called my mother at 3 in the morning. I'm going, "This place is insane." And
a new sense of respect.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, I ended up in my Uncle Jaffe's room. He died of cancer when I was about 8 years old. And at the head of his bed was a white spot, which was kind of it would never leave. It kind of glowed. And I always felt real comfortable there. So I stayed in the room and hung out with his spirit. And I was like, because the rest of them were all making noises. I'd wake up and I'd hear banging around in the house, and I'd hear music, and I'd hear voices talking, and I'm like going, I'm behind the covers going, oh my God, you know, what's going on?
I'll turn you into a man real quick, won't it?
Well, it got my attention, and finally, Mom brought that up towards the end of the summer. She goes, so did you learn anything from this experience? I went, yeah, I don't want to stay here again. And she's going, what else? And then I said, well, you know, there's family here that are obviously watching over me. And she goes, yeah. And she goes, now you're going to be looking over your shoulder because you can't hide anything from any of us. And I got the point, you know, and I shaped up. And, you know, it changed my life. It was a good experience. But I never forgot waking up and feeling somebody actually get into bed with me that wasn't there. I mean, that was the one that freaked me out at 3 a.m. I mean,
yeah, I don't know if I even fall asleep.
Oh, man. I mean, I woke up and all of a sudden I watched the bed depressed next to me, and I'm looking at it, you know, my eyes are like 10 times normal size. And I mean, I went tear assing out of there, and I'm on the phone going, you know.
Yeah. And, somebody get me.
Yeah, get me out of this place. But it was really.
I don't think I've ever had obvious experiences like that. That's kind of where I teeter totter on. Wanting it so bad, because I've always wanted it so bad, and almost to the point where I block myself from getting it, because I've never had one of those experiences where that was obviously what it was, you know what I mean? And so I'm like, okay, am I creating this? Am I, you know, I obviously have healing, you know, in my family, and I'm able to heal and I've helped people, but as far as it comes to the, like, wanting, you know, I've even let them know, okay, I'm ready, I want to see something, like, show me something that's going to solidify this, you know, so I, you know, and nothing. And so that's kind of where I'm envious that you had that experience.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you want that experience, I can tell you how to do it.
I would appreciate that.
It would be have you been in a place that you felt energy before, where you felt spirits, and you're pretty sure that you felt things like that?
I've been in one, but it wasn't good.
Okay. What I would say is this. You know,
in church.
you can actually talk to your dead relatives. You can actually just in your own time when everybody's gone and you don't feel foolish about it, and you're alone, and you just grab a cup of coffee and sit down and have a talk with your family who have passed. And ask and let them know what you're trying to do, and ask them if they can just come around and maybe that you could see them, you know, slipping around the corner, or maybe catch a quick glimpse of them, and just so that you can help develop your ability. Now, what we get quite a bit of here, you know, because my dad's case, where we have them, they actually show up when my dad's having trouble. And we know that we have to go get him to the doctor, because that seems to be the thing that happens quite a bit. And we'll catch a little glimpse of them walking around a corner. You know, it'll be my Uncle Mike or my Aunt Lee or my grandfather, who was a neurosurgeon. We'll see them around, and we know it's time to deal with that. So that's kind of the thing. They tend to appear when there is a need. But since the need for you seems to be that you just want to develop this faculty, you can ask that and just mean it from the heart, and you will start seeing them. The trouble is that the human eye is built with, and I don't know how much you know about the body.
I know a lot about it. If you haven't seen it before, it's going to be harder for you to see, like the ship in the distance that the Indians couldn't see, type of thing, because they'd never seen one before.
Well, it's funny because the human eye has rods and cones, and there's color cones, and then there's also black and white cones. And one of the things that's very common in the paranormal world is looking, going around a corner, and out of the corner of your eye, you see something, and it looks human, and you look directly at it, and it's gone. And the reason is because the corner of the eye is sensitive to a little more of into different bandwidths of light than what you get with the color cones. So we can see a little further into different spectrums, is what I'm saying. So when you have your experiences, when you when you have this talk and you wait a little while, I would lay a wager that they'll start appearing relatively soon. And if you start catching those little motions, don't look directly at it. Just try to catch as much detail as you can, with a side vision. Now, you're going to look directly at them. Again, even though I tell you this, you are going to look directly at them. But what happens is once they get a pattern going, you can start to learn to kind of delay your turning your eyes towards it, and you get a little more detail out of it. And then the other thing is to trust your mind's eye, because your mind's eye is very powerful, and you'll be able to correlate what you quote see from the corner of your eye to what in your mind's eye who this person could be, and then develop that further. And it's different for everybody. And in my case, I'll see my Uncle Mike quite a bit, and he shows up a bunch, and he does stuff. He's like a real clown. I mean, he'll show up and start, he'll mess with you. And I always get a kick out of him because he's trying to kick and bring some levity to things. My grandfather shows up, and he's matter of fact, he's all business. He comes in to take care of Dad. It's like, I'm here, okay. The point is, get him taken care of, okay? I've been dead 30 years, so I just don't want to let you know. So, he does that, and that's cool. But in your case, this is going to be an interesting development for you. I really sense that you've got a lot more gift than you think you do. So I think that it's going to go really well for you. So
yeah, and I've heard that people say that, and maybe just, I don't know, maybe it's a personal feeling I have that, again, people say they're not here, they don't want to scare you, so they're not going to do it if they feel that it's going to scare you or put you off. But where I was going with that was, when it happens in my dreams and I'm okay with it in my dreams, and I can see it in my dreams, whatever it is in my dreams, then basically rephrase that. If I can see it in my dreams, then I can see it in reality, in waking life, I mean. So I don't know if that made sense.
Well, if it's learning to accept what
in
is
my
coming.
Dream.
Yeah, and dreams. Dreams are interesting things. They are very powerful. They are often, there's a biological component, of course. If we did not dream, we would go insane, because there's actually a biological reason we dream.
Right, which I've studied on. Yeah, I know that you have to release certain things you've done during the day. And yeah, I've actually studied quite a bit on that, so please go further. This is very interesting.
But there's also the spiritual component to it. And what I've actually done this. I don't do it as much anymore because I really don't need to. But it's an interesting exercise for anybody that wants to take their dreams and work with them a little bit more. Sit down and I know this sounds like a lot of work, and it is, but keep a dream journal. And if it's too much work to do it right then, grab a digital tape recorder, and when you wake up with a dream, before it leaves you, just record what happened, and then later on transcribe it. And you'll find in your dream journal is that you'll see patterns over time, and these dreams have themes, and you begin to see further into the into what your life is going on in your life, and it'll really surprise you. I'll tell you what too. Look for a good dream journal book, a dream interpretation book. That will that you could just go through and flip through the pages. And this is kind of an exercise that I haven't talked about before, but it's really a kind of neat thing, is if you just take a book and you settle on one book, don't try to grab two or three different ones. Grab one book and flip through the pages and look at each page. You don't have to memorize it. Just show it to your subconscious. Your subconscious will then look at that book and say, okay, I can work with that, and I'll use that to help work your dreams. And what happens later on when you have the dream, you can go back to the book and you can look and you can interpret, because your subconscious did all the work it needed to do. Your conscious mind operates in a whole different realm, and you have to have this book to go back and show you what the meaning of the dream was. And so if you do that, it's kind of like putting an intermediary between your subconscious mind and your waking mind. And having this little guide around going, oh yeah, I can, yeah, this is great, and this is what this means, and this is what this means, and it'll start showing you some interesting capabilities. I haven't needed to do it for a while. I tend to remember very few of my dreams anymore. I don't seem to need that. But early on in life, I did need it, and it turned out to be an interesting exercise. And so I think for you, it would be a good intro exercise to that. There are times when dreams happen, though, and they are precognitive, and their experiences of what is going to happen. They're usually very vivid and very powerful. And those are ones I do remember when things are coming. And I had one. It was a nightmare about 3 weeks ago. I had a nightmare, and it was just before my dad actually went into the hospital, and he damn near died. And so it was just, I really had a lot of fear going on.
Wow.
And so those have purpose. But in your case, it's you've got a real education ahead of you.
Oh my!
You have some interesting experiences.
I was kind of giggling when you said dream journal. I was giggling because I'm the one that wakes up. I get woken up at a certain time every night, about at the same time. And I have been journaling. I've been journaling for about 3 months now. And I was the one that would go, okay, I just have to wake up enough and turn the lamp on just enough to write down. And I was waking up at 3 in the morning going, okay, I just have to get this little bit down. So I totally get what you're saying. And I have gotten literally what came across as like Buddhist lessons in my dreams. There was a night where it was just one after the next. And when I went to journal it, I was like, okay, I had this dream and this is what it meant. And it was literally like I was getting lessons, and it was just amazing. And
well,
I had one.
Well, your path, you're doing great. Exactly what you need to be doing.
Yeah, the education thing is, you're right on with that.
If it were me, I would go back and look at the dreams in the journal as a whole, step back and walk through and look at patterns.
Yeah.
Because you'll start seeing sub-themes in different patterns that go on with dream work, and you'll begin to get a feel for just how complicated this all gets.
But
you can find some of the major stuff, and it'll kind of give you hints on things to work on. But dreams are just amazing. I don't do it like I used to, but I accept the fact that they're working for me, and in my waking life, and in my spiritual life, I'm doing well, and I'm not saying I don't need to interpret them, but it's just that that part of my life, I just accept the fact that, there's an autopilot going on, and I don't need to mess with that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's true. And I'm still, I get a lot of lessons from them. I get a lot of just kind of letting me know that I'm doing the right thing. I'm starting to hear things in my dreams. Spirit guides come to me now. I was able to see my mom's spirit guide in my dream the other day. So I totally am opening up to all it. And it's very neat. Yesterday I had one where I had a lucid dream where I was flying over this ocean, and there was a ton of islands that were created from lava, from kind of like Hawaii, right? When a volcano erupts and they make islands. And then I was listening to a different podcast earlier, and they were having a discussion how, everything that's going on in the world right now with all these natural disasters. And I'm going, oh my God, that's exactly what I saw happening, was these under ocean earthquakes happening in the middle of the ocean and creating islands. And they were, all different shapes. And it was like, wow, I didn't realize till I heard them talking about it that that's exactly what it was.
These are precognitive, and they have a purpose to show you that you're tied into universal consciousness. That's really what dream, beyond the biological reason for that, there's also this whole, element of where we're all interconnected. We're part of a much larger universe, a much larger group mind as human beings. And so we do get this special knowledge that comes through. And when people first really start learning all this stuff and they really get into it and they're really taking it seriously and they're going forward, they go through these growth spurts that are just amazing and incredible, and you just are getting all this knowledge and you can't possibly find out where to put it all. It's so coming in so quickly. And then you hit, kind of a plateau, and you go through a slower growth phase. and there's a lot more slow wisdom coming at you, and you, and the guides change, and the lessons change, and then boom, you hit another one. You know, I mean, I'm going through, you know, watching my family getting ready to pass, and I'm looking at the future, going, oh, what's next, you know, and I've had to really step back and look at it and go, this is one of those intense growth phases, and I'm learning so much right now, and looking at it and saying, wow, this is important to understand that, you know, yes, Dad's going to pass, but his spirit's going to be fine, and he'll be coming back to me, and we'll be talking about all of this, and he'll be watching over me, and then he'll be there for Mom when her time comes, and so, you know, these are and then I'll go to another plateau for a while, and I'll do a slow growth thing. And then another major challenge will happen. And it's the same thing with you. You're going through a much more positive angle of it, where you're just becoming aware of the potentials. And then it'll change your life. And you're talking about the healing. That's a good thing for you. And the laying on of hands, and the being able to use your abilities to be able to sense what's going on with people just by even touching them. That's an important thing to be doing, and basically healers are going to be needed in the future with the way society is going. You know, it's going to get really ugly out there, so a good healer is going to be worth their weight in gold, trust me.
I was amazed when I was like, okay, it's happening at the right time for the right moment, and I feel the same way. It's like a magnet that when I started opening up to the Reiki healing and becoming attuned and all this stuff, people just, it was like a magnet. I'm like, oh, you do it too? Oh, you do it too? Oh, I never knew you guys existed, you know? Like, and all these people are coming to me and asking me, and it's wonderful. And I never, it was just a whole nother world opening up. So, yeah, I agree that the world is in need of some serious healing.
Yeah, when you start to do this, it's like a little light bulb clicks on, and you've got a little advertising sign, and then other people of like mind seem to find you. And you don't know how that happens. you're like attracting, like attracts like, and you just seem to find each other. I'm still amazed how it happens. I'll be sitting there and talking with people. I was doing some work the other day at my place of business, and started just talking with a client that I was working with from another department. And next thing you know, they said a few little things that kind of hinted to me there were some spiritual components to them. And the next thing you know, it turned out they had all these amazing gifts, and it was similar stuff to what I do. And they wanted to listen to my show, and we got talking some more, and it was like old home week, you know. And we'd been working together years and didn't know this stuff about each other, you know. So it's there. People like that are all around us. So I mean, you've got a lot of support out there. I would take the – just one of the things I'm getting with you is if you haven't had it happen already, you will, is you will begin seeing auras. You'll begin seeing, colors around people. If you're not having it happen now, it will happen when you develop that further. A lot of healers have that gift, and it's something that just seems to happen. I see them like – just kind of a very occasionally see colors, but usually what I see is just kind of out, you know, the first spirit body kind of coming out about 4 inches away, and you'll see kind of a white light on people. And sometimes you'll see little different things that pop off of people, different shapes and things go on, and you go, what's that? And there's a whole science to it. A gal named Barbara Brennan writes some good books called Hands of Light, and she had like another book.
I have that book.
Yeah, and so it's really that she does some really neat stuff. That's a really good one to get into. Since you have that book and you know who I'm talking about, she's got the color charts and shows what these different spirit bodies mean and the different conditions that people can have because of the different colors that are showing up around them and what's happening with their mind and body and spirit. So that's the sense I get of you, is that you're really going that direction, and it's going to be a big thing for you.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate it. All your this was fun. Thank you so much for having me on. I don't want to take up your whole time, but gosh, very nice chatting with you.
Okay, very nice chatting with you. And boy, by gosh, I was surprised. We started off with just a few listeners, and now we got a whole pastel in the chat room. So, yeah, I got another reading waiting here. But hey, thank you so much, and God bless you.
Yeah, you too. Thank you very much.
Okay, take care. Okay, bye now. All right, let's see. We've got 10:44 here on the west coast of these United States. That would be, what, 1:44 on the east coast. So Jeannie Marie out there in Georgia is, you know, staying awake late. And for all of you who are on the eastern side of the United States, or God knows wherever you're at, thank you for listening in. I'll do a shout-out real quick. And then we got Liberty 4230 has a pop-up reading question for me, so I'll do that. And then we'll do a little psychometry game since the call-in lines are rather light. So I have one listener out there, and I think I know who that is. So anyway, we're going to do, let's call out who we got here. We got A-Y-N-I-E, Aninia, I hope I say that right. Daniel Adam, Faith Angel, hi Faith Angel, haven't seen you in a while. Gerber Daisy TM, big hug. Giraffe Angel, you stand above them all. You're the Giraffe Angel. We have a bunch of guests, and I won't read all the numbers, but you are all from France. Let's see, we have Jeannie Marie out there in the wild land of Georgia. We've got Liberty 4230, who we're going to read. Mystic Chava, and she came in and said some nice things, and so a big hug to you. It's the Night of the Mystics. And we have Mystic Vajari, or, you know, Mystic V. I'm going to call you that, Mystic V. Mystic Vajari. And then we got Scott Wise, GHI, and Troy Shadow. And that's a cool icon you got there. Okay, so let's see. What we've got is Liberty 4230, and I don't know what that 4230 is about, but we're going to find out. But anyway, let me drag this a little bit bigger so I can read this whole question. And now my browser decided to get weird. My name is Emily, she says, and I'm 20 years old. I met this guy named Tristan at school, and we've been talking and flirting a lot. Oh, my goodness. Do you see that going somewhere? Well, the fact is, by the flirting, it's going somewhere. Trust me. He's sort of a hard person to read. Most guys are. But he's very sweet. So the sense I get of it is that you have interest, too, since you're already asking the question. And spring is in the air, and love is in the air. Oh, my goodness. I would tend to think that it will go somewhere if you want it to. But, one thing I've learned as a man, is you ladies are in control of the whole thing. You do know that. And you're able to kind of, you know, just advertise your wares, as you well know, and throw a little bit of attitude into it, and the guy will follow you anywhere. And guys like to think they're in control of the process. They're not. They just need to get over it. I'm 51 years old, and I've got some wisdom under my belt, and I've learned basically, just if one of them is showing interest, go with it. Just go with it. Trust me. She chooses you, not the other way around. They like to think they, and the men like to think they choose, but they don't. So I do think you have a shot at it. Just be careful. He has an eye for other ladies, too, but I think you might be one that would be girlfriend potential. So I'll say that much. But dating-wise, be careful. When you go out, dress conservatively, but show a little leg or something like that. I can't believe I just said that. But, you know what to do to get his attention. And then just kiss on the first date and all that stuff. So I hope that helps. Kiss on the first date, and that's all. And then after that, it's pretty much an eye-opener from there. Now, I am having browser troubles up the yin-yang, and I cannot get this browser. Okay, I'm going to close. There we go. We got it back. LOL at men, Mystic Chava. Scott Wise from GHI. John, can you do a reading for me for my friend Steve, who passed from the chat? Don't want to wake the wife with my big mouth. Do you want to call in, Scott, or do you want to pop it in? Oh, Mystic Chava. Oh, John, you're all grown up now. You deserve a trophy. Hell, I deserve a trophy for just surviving 51 years, for God's sakes. And don't mean my friend passed from the chat. He didn't die during the chat, did he? That would be bad if somebody died during my show. I mean, that would kind of suck, you know? It just really would. No, we can't have that. Good Lord, I don't know quite what you want to ask there, Scott. But go ahead and pop it up there in a pop-up here, and I'll see what I can do. In the meantime, we're going to do a little psychometry. I'm not totally equipped for this, so I'm going to just try to find something. Let me see. Will this work? You know, this is weird enough to actually work. I'm going to grab that, and I'll grab... yeah, this will work. We're going to do colors. And then we'll do shapes. Shapes are always cool because people do well with shapes and color. Yeah, this is a good one here. Okay, I got three items. So we'll have those set aside. I'm waiting for Scott to... psychometry, Jeannie Marie says. What's psychometry? Well, you know, first we get psycho. And then you know, after that, we just start screaming. Psychometry, for those of you who are questioning what that is the ability to basically hold an object and read things about it in terms of its past. It's a very old ability that humanity has practiced with and used for literally, you know, probably a million years. You know, when people were hunting, you know, back when there were Neanderthals and Cro-Magnon man, and they were out hunting and they would touch objects, and we had the natural capabilities developed to read these things. And Gerber Daisy is already jumping into the head. It's funny you would do that, Gerber Daisy. Now I have to move that. I have to take that object out. Yes, it's black, and I'm holding it, for God's sakes. You're that good. And I will, you know, I'll set that aside. Goodness gracious, you're extremely good. And already working on triangle, but you missed that one. But you did black really well. I mean, and colors are usually the first one that people get. So I'll grab another object here to add into the mix. So anyway, you know, but psychometry is that special ability to be able to touch an object, and objects have the ability to record the things that have happened around them. And so when you go into, for example, if you go into a antique store and you start touching some of the objects and you develop these abilities to kind of sense things, you will pick up on different memories. And, you know, they showed on Ghost Whisperer, and she does it, and these things come through, and she sees immediately what happened. It doesn't quite work that way, but what happens is you do get impressions, and if you work with it, you can do some amazing things with that. So, okay, Liberty says, thanks, John. I hope the other girls don't take him away from me. You've got the ability to, girl, you've got the ability to get him to do that. He's flirting with you. Flirt back and just make it clear you're interested. And then let him do what comes naturally to chase after you, and then you've got your work cut out. Yeah, you know, but go out to a movie, have a nice date, you know, and have a good time, because I think he is interested in you. He's a nice guy, you know. But yes, there's other girls out there keeping an eye on him, and you better lay claim, lay claim quick. Okay, so Scott Wise, GHI, says, I want to know if it was him in a theater investigation. The Hey Scott EVP, and I got this feeling when on investigation he is there also, but never thought to ask on other investigations. I'll tell you what, Scott, I do think that there are spirits, especially of people who have passed, who I don't think that he's trapped. I don't think he's the kind of spirit that would be trapped and has not crossed over yet. He's more connected to you if he was a friend. I think that in your case, you know, me reading it, it should be backed up by you actually getting an EVP recorder and not doing it, not so much in an investigative sense, you know, during a GHI investigation, but, throw it at him, from your home, you know, go in there and talk to him directly and see if you can get an EVP on it. And that's exactly the kind of thing that's happened to me, when I've done, this work, where we've done EVP here in-house. And that's how it started in February 2010 when I started having, you know, Debbie Caruso coming through. And she's still around, and she's an amazing, amazing presence, and somebody I've worked with for, you know, well over a year now. So I think this is kind of the same process that you're going through. It's very hard to accept it at first, you know, when you have this stuff happening. It really blew me away that it was happening to me. I thought, this is only on TV, it doesn't happen. Yeah, it does. Friend of 20-plus years. Now, did he pass in the last year, Scott? Because I'm getting like a year, year and a half, but that's just my sense. Died from cancer at age 49. When did this happen? Excuse me, I'm still coughing from all this pollen in here. Good Lord. Is it possible why, Jeannie says, is it possibly why I like to touch things so much, even the words, pages of a book? Exactly. Books are often amazingly haunted, believe it or not. And I got some of my best EVP evidence from a bookstore that we stayed at, did an investigation there, and we have one EVP that ran 2 long minutes in a bookstore, and the books seem to just have all these memories attached to them, and they come from all over the area. And so when you put them all together in one place, that's the kind of the same thing that happens with antique stores. They just are amazingly haunted, and you will get memories that you can't believe, and some things just seem to call to you. And you know, as long as it feels good and you don't sense anything negative with it, and your little voice inside your body says, oh yeah, it's good, take that home. Generally, you can buy a thing at a store like that and take it home and have it, you know, play well in your home and play well with you. Books, same kind of thing. It's the same exact kind of energies. Books have amazing psychic potential. And Jeannie Marie says, yeah, woods, glass, rocks, metals, books. It really doesn't matter so much about the material. Although I found A, the books, and B, the you know, anything with wood and like a handmade wooden cabinets, things like that, seem to have energies. And mirrors, of all things, mirrors seem to really possess those abilities. And we've seen that repeatedly in investigations that we've been on. Let me redo that. Okay, yeah, and I've got a caller out there, so I see you, caller. Yeah, a year and a half. I was getting a year and a half. 2 years. This August. Oh, so it is about a year and a half. So we're about a year and a half. So I was right on. My sense is he's passed, and he's just, of course he's passed, but he's passed over to the other side, and he's returned because there's a strong connection there. I would tend to think he's going to come through on EVP for you, Scott. And you could ask direct questions. That way you won't need, quote, a medium to do it. You can get direct evidence of that. I could give you some pointers on dealing with it. Number one, use a computer. You don't even need to so much have a EVP recorder. You can use a computer with a white noise generator. And use. I can give you some options to use with Audacity or the audio editor of your choice, and then give you some ideas of filters to use to bring the voices through. And he will come through, absolutely. And it really is an amazing thing when you have them come through. So I'll do that. Let's see. We'll get into some more psychometry here. We kind of got drawn off that, but I've got the objects here waiting. So I'm going to take that caller because they're being real patient with me. And it's 254 area code. So let's go ahead and bring them through. And if I can get the little microphone thingamajigger. Okay, it's on. Caller, you're on the air. Hello?
It's me. It's Terry from Texas. I thought we were supposed to call in our psychometry. I can't type because I'm a guest, and so I didn't know how else to answer.
I know what? I'm glad you called. Yeah, you're a fun. You're a fun guest. I'll tell you what. You know what? That's a kind of a neat idea. I've never had somebody call in for psychometry, but I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and practice it. I've got something in my hand.
Okay.
And we're going to go on color. And those of you in the chat room, feel free to join in and throw, because I'm going to do it now. So we'll do some psychometry. So
I'm already getting stuff.
Okay, I'm holding it. I've actually got several colors. So this is actually, I'm just going to go with the predominant color. So I'll see what you pick up and then what others. So,
okay.
All right, here we go. Go ahead.
I just it's either putty or a rock, but it's gray and ovalish. object?
Well, work on color. Work on color, because we're going to go into the same next.
And like a pinky orange. I don't know, like a putty color with maybe pink or orange, you know, like coral.
Kind of like what?
Coral, maybe?
You know, it's funny that you would say this. Yeah, it's got multiple colors on it, but the predominant color is kind of, okay, we got green and red, and one of those colors is correct. Pink and green, we had that. And but what you said, you're talking coral. Can you give me a quality about it? Is it like wood or metal or?
No, I saw it as a rock or like even an eraser almost, but like a rubbery type item.
Okay, and what shape? Let's go with shape a little bit.
Like
what
a blob, like a blobish, ovalish, roundish.
Okay, what I have in my hand is a Radio Shack Intercell alkaline battery.
No. I don't
but
get that at
that,
all.
What you have in, you know, as far as the color, you know, it's kind of a brushed gold,
and it's
kind of I would give you a partial hit on that because it's kind of if you were to look at it, it is a kind of a. I'm trying to find the word for this, but it's not a distinct color. And from a distance, you could look at it and say, you know, well, silvery, goldish, you know, it could look like coral. You know, I'll give it that. But Mystic says silver and black. It actually has, it has a silver on it, yes, at the end for the battery tone contacts. And it has black. It has black writing. And and one of you said red. Giraffe Angel said red, green and red.
Wow, there's lots of people that got more right than I did. Because
well,
I
know,
saw it
but,
more. Yeah.
But, you know, that's the point in doing this, is it's great to make mistakes because you can, then what
it's
you do...
practice.
Yeah, now I'm going to hold another one. I've got this in my hand. Now, this has multiple colors again. But it has a predominant color. Now I'm going to really project to you, and see if you pick this up. So I'm working on it right now. And when you feel you've got a color, just the first thing that comes to your mind, don't edit, just think it, and then say it. So when you're ready, I've got the predominant color in my mind.
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to you. You're the one. And the rest. Audience can also type it in also, but I'm sending it out there really loud and clear.
Is it jade green or navy blue? I want to say navy blue.
You hit it right on the money. It's
jade
green. It's what this is it's a box of drills, twist drills, and the box is green, and it has a jadeish green on the very front.
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy.
Exactly right. And
but
it has, one of you said orange, and it has orange type at the bottom, guys. And there's blue, and there's also some definitely green, Gerber Daisy TM. But you hit the jade green, you hit it right on the money. It's actually predominantly jade green on the front.
Oh my God, I can't believe it. Well, I can because I'm a little psychic, but...
Oh, well, yeah. Well, you could be a medium psychic or, you know, a large psychic, but, you know. Yeah. You've done really well. That's the neat thing, is the ability.
I don't want to haunt air here, so I'm going to let others play, okay?
Well, so, you know, I'll tell you what. You had a really good hit there. I'm going to throw another one at you. You know,
all right. You're so fun. Okay, one more.
Let's have some fun with it. I'm holding another object in my hand, and it's got a predominant color that I'm looking at, and I'm just going to throw it out there for you guys. And yeah, Mystic had it right. Jade's a specific green, but now we got a new color, and it's not green. You know, so we got that out of the way. But it is definitely an interesting color, and it's kind of like a primary color. And so think really hard. First color that comes to mind.
Well, I have to be honest with you. I saw a piece of paper, but then I saw brown leather like a book.
Keep going. Give me a specific color. You know, is
brown.
It brown?
Brown.
Brown? You're
brown.
Pretty close. You're pretty close. It's funny that Mystic would throw out the orange because this is kind of a cross between brown and orange.
Okay,
and
it's
a scissors. It's a pair of scissors, and it has these brownish kind of crinkly handle. And that's actually not a direct hit, but it's a pretty close one. I'll give you that because it's hard to realize the color here. It could be it's kind of a mix of both. So
okay.
You get in on that. So that's pretty good. That's pretty
all
good.
Right.
I qualified that. We're going to do one more.
Oh, my God, you're killing me. Okay, go on.
Well,
I love
just,
it.
It's part of the development. So this is an interesting thing, and I really like this thing. It goes with me on a lot of my – I always carry one in my pocket. But this has a really – it's another elemental color. And I'm going to throw it out to you. And you could also take, if you really want to go the distance, you could actually take a shot at what this is. So do a color and then take a shot at what it is. And we could really stretch you a bit. So let's see what we can do there. So I'm throwing it out to you, and I've got the color in my mind.
Okay. All right. I'm just wondering something. Can I ask you questions?
Oh, that's cheating.
Well, it is cheating. I all of a sudden I don't care about what it is that you're holding. But I'm thinking, do you have something special, like a money clip your grandfather gave you or something like about money or a clip?
Well, I don't have anything right in front of me. I have a lot of things
okay.
that cost a lot of money here in the studio, but
okay.
I have this thing in front of me that, it's not about money. I can tell you that. It's definitely far removed from it. What's that?
I just see a clip, and it's like a flag. It isn't like an American flag. It's more like a triangle with the silver thing on it, and it's attached somewhat to someone gave it to you, and that's all I know.
Are you talking about like a flag?
Yes, like a flag.
Tell me about the flag. Give me a
it's
primary.
It's a green. It's a green, like sailing. I get like a sail, green with a silver pole. I don't know.
Okay, silver pole you're direct on, and you're very
damn,
close.
Damn, are
on,
you kidding me? I'm freaking myself
my
out. I am freaking myself out.
Okay, now you're not quite on the color for the flag, but you're getting close. And I would
is
say
it
that
navy
that,
blue then? I mean, or red and blue?
It's got some of those elements, but I want you to think of I'm going to give you a very big clue. It has an animal. There's an animal on this flag. What is the animal?
Okay. I don't know. I'm afraid to say bear because I think it's too obvious. But
go. I'll say that it's not a bear, but I will give you one more chance.
A beaver.
First thing that comes to mind. First animal that comes to mind. No, not beaver. I'll say that too. But take a
okay.
shot and
keep
really
thinking.
See what I'm projecting in my
okay.
mind.
Okay. All right. I'll be quiet.
Okay, I'm going to send this to you, and you need to really just focus in on what I'm sending. And even if you don't get the animal quite right, you can go with shape.
Oh,
so,
oh my God. Is it a snake?
That's exactly right.
No, it isn't. You are, you're kidding me. Oh, you're freaking me out.
It is the Don't Tread on Me flag.
Oh, my God.
And it's actually colored... It's colored yellow, and it has a number of different colors, but it's the original Don't Tread on Me flag.
Oh,
which,
my God.
You hit it right on the money. When I had you sit there and I projected and you opened your mind to it, that's when you picked it up. So, you know, remember this. This is important stuff, is when you're doing this kind of work, projection and then a receiver. And for all of you listening in the audience, too, this is a great party game and a great way to develop in spiritual circles. You know, get everybody in a room, you know, split people up randomly in pairs and then have them go off to those separate areas and practice sending and receiving and trading off. And what will happen is you'll find that as over time, it may take several times, you might just, and give yourself permission to fail. Absolutely have fun with it. Don't. The whole point of it is as an exercise to develop yourself. And you'll find that your accuracy improves to the point where you get into 80 and 90% ranges where you start picking things up. And Mystic Chava had a snake deer elk. He had snake. That's pretty good. Yellow green with a snake. That's it. Don't tread on me. So, but, you know, that's the point, is to have fun with it and don't attach importance to it. Just have fun. And it will bring this element of accuracy that you'll still be surprised at. And it's just amazing stuff. Amazing, amazing stuff. But, yeah, you keyed in on my flag. So a part of your consciousness was actually roaming around checking out my place where I'm at right now.
Well, just so you know, I believe in this stuff, but this, the doubt that I like to carry around in my bucket that we've already talked about,
yeah,
it won't leave my side, and I need to, like, bury that thing because I'm right a lot. I really am psychic, and I should embrace that gift, and, you know.
Well, your guides brought you back on the air, and I felt it was important to stay, you know, have you stay on. And you got an abject lesson in trust, in trusting your abilities, and trusting, you know, when I did this exercise and when I sent to you and I really made you open up and listen and say, you know, I'm sending you this. Okay, what do you see? First thing. And you came up with snake. I didn't lead you to that. I mean, I kind of discounted the other animals because I knew you could do it. So, you know, that's the point in all of this, is getting you to really trust those instincts when they happen. And, yeah, once in a while you're going to be wrong. But more often than not, because of your gift, you're going to be right. So it's learning to have trust with that. And they're working on you. I mean, that's the reason you're back.
Yeah, he is.
Working
he
on
is.
Your butt. Up here, they're like,
very,
you guys are going, hey, knock, knock, are you in there?
he is. I mean, he's very firm. Very firm. Well,
I think that was the coolest thing ever. I mean, that really made my night for the show. I mean, I like that.
Okay.
That was
cool. Well, yeah, I mean, already I'm going, oh, anybody could have done that, you know. But
No. Good Lord. Yeah, we had, I mean, that was a, talk about direct hit.
Really?
I mean, that was a girl.
Well, I've had a great night. Thank you so much. And I'll be back, and I'll try to get it where I can come in as my name so you know it's me. So, anyway.
Okay. Well,
I'll talk to you.
You're a sweetheart, and I just totally enjoyed that. And you are welcome here anytime.
Well, I'll see you again.
Okay. See you later.
Bye.
Okay, we got another caller out there, and boy, the night is passing quick. We're down to about a little over 15 minutes left here, and we got a bunch of late night guests out there, and you know, and people are still hanging out, you know, from all over. But I see you, caller. I'm going to go ahead and bring you on from, I think it's 803 area code. So again, these glasses are just not good. 803, you're on the air.
Great. Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, this is Chris calling from South Carolina, and I was calling to ask about my love life. I met somebody the other day. I don't know if I came on too strong or what, but she's like exactly my type. And I seen it was vibing, you know, it's kind of vibing.
So you met this woman, and you said you came on too strong, and so she's kind of, what, vamoose, scarce kind of thing? She's not around?
Kind of sort of. I just met her, and she came over, and then she said she was going to call me and didn't call. So.
Okay. You know what? This is not so much psychic, but just an observation of the female character.
Right.
And one of the things that they do is they will... This is not totally in their control, but yet it is. And what it is when a woman forms an opinion of a man, that opinion stays until you do something different. And she's formed an opinion. And based on who you are as a person and all that, that's the kind of thing that happens. You say she's your type. But I brought it up earlier about how women do the choosing, and it is true. And there is no getting around this. And you'll read plenty of books that say one thing or another, but my experience of it has been once they make the choice, you're pretty much a cooked goose. But in your case, she's kind of made the choice, and she's made a judgment call about you, and she's off kind of doing whatever she does, and she's not taking this, you know, to the next level with you in a future relationship. One thing you can do with it is just look at it and say, oh, okay, you know, we're just friends. And what if you really want to blow her mind and her fuses out of her brain, treat her like a friend in future interactions, and then just invite her out for lunch, but treat it, and it's not even quite a date, just do lunch.
Do you see me ever talking to her again?
Pardon me?
Do you see me ever talking to her again?
That's up to you. You have absolutely the power to be able to do that, and that's the point I'm making, is you can control a little bit of the relationship by controlling how you are coming off to her. And
okay.
One of the that as a man that you can do is you look at her and say, oh, no, we're just friends. You know, I just want to go out and have a good time, and I want to talk to you about other women too, blah, 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 you know, and I'm dating this and that. And don't come off cocky. Don't come off revenge. Don't come off any of that, but just be yourself.
Like, I just met her, then she came over, and we was vibing, and then she just
She could be a player. She could be have her own way of doing things. And you know what? That's cool. But if you one of the things you do, I don't know how old you are. I mean, you're under 30, right?
I'm 34.
You're 34? Okay. Well, you...
He's 31.
I think that you come off a little younger than you are biologically. I think you're more in the 25 to 30 range in the way you act. Let's just say that. But from a male's perspective, having been through this, what I found is that attaching so much importance to the date process, oh my God, you know, and we're going out, and I have to be such and such. And if you just relax and just go out to have fun and just go out to have, you know, lunch and make it mean lunch, not a date. She's going to get all dressed up to come out to the lunch, and you're going to treat it just like a date. Oh, yeah, we're just going out, you know, and talk about stuff. And don't even try to do, quote, like you're talking about the vibes. Don't even do that. Put that if you get nothing else from this talk tonight, take this one lesson is just go out there and just have a good time and treat her like a friend.
Okay.
And what will happen is the next thing you know, and if you go out with, invite another girl along, and you all go out together, and you sit there and you just talk, and you're not totally ignore all the stuff that's going on, all the undercurrents. The next thing you know, they're going to be fighting over you, and it's like all you have to do is just enjoy the moment and just enjoy yourself, and they'll choose you based on.
So you see her calling me back then?
I would see her if you do these things that I'm talking about. Yeah, she would do that. But you're reversing.
She has my number. I don't have her number.
What's that?
I said I gave her my number. I don't have her number.
Well, basically, you'll run into her again, right? Do you know where to run into her?
No.
Okay, well, then lesson learned, number one, is stay in contact. But, you know, the lesson still applies for future relationships. Now, I personally do think you'll have a chance to see her again. There will be a time. But what I would say is this. In future relationships, when you're going in, don't make the date mean so much as everything. Make it into a fun event that has no – that in your – the way that you are coming off, even if you are interested
–
when you go out there, just treat it like any other friendship you have and let things go naturally.
Okay.
Because yeah,
I sent one of our homegirls an email to tell her to call me.
What's
that? I did that like a few minutes ago. So.
Oh, it looks like we've lost. Oh.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, but it looks like they are we still connected? It looks like we're still.
Hello?
Okay, are you still with me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. So I don't know quite what's going on, but I think that they said they lost sound. Anyway, people are getting us back. Okay, we're in good shape. So anyway, let's go ahead and go on.
Yeah, I said, I got a friend. See, I met her friend first, and I got her Facebook. So I sent her friend a Facebook telling her to call me, and sorry if I came on too strong. So
she said you came on too strong?
I think I feel that I came on too strong.
Okay, well then, you know, and trust me, I was in your position once, and the way I would do that, and girls would not call back and all that. And when you, when you relax about it, I just had, and just trust in the process and trust in yourself as a man, those things will come naturally. And the next thing you know, once you just start acting natural, it's the most amazing thing. Women do respond to that with men, and just be happy, casual, you know, be yourself. You don't have to do much else.
Because she doesn't stay in my town, so.
Well, see, she doesn't what?
She doesn't live in my town.
Well, I think what will happen is she will. If you had a friend through Facebook that was.
I met her homegirl first, then I met her at the same day. So I got out and already got her friend's Facebook. So a few minutes ago, I sent a friend to tell her to call me.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Facebook angle is a good one. You know, just invite, you could do something like invite the Facebook friend out for lunch and then, you know, hey, if you want to bring such and such person with you, you know, we're just going to go out and have a great time. You know, if you want to come out, great. If not, whatever.
Yeah.
And treat it that way. And don't attach the importance. It doesn't, this sounds like it won't work, but it does. And that's the point. It has this ability, you have this ability to project who you are, and if you take away the pressure of all the date, you're going to be a lot better off, and it will show you as you truly are and who you are as a man,
right.
And that's what women are attracted to. Once men act natural and they show themselves who they are really are inside, it's just amazing. You know, when I'm doing stuff on air and I'm being myself. It is, I've had women out there respond positively to me because of who I am, and it's an amazing thing, and I'm still blown away that it happens like it does. And, you know, once my family situation has changed over and I'm a little more available, I will take advantage of that. But at this point in my life, I'm not able to do that. But I can tell you this, it works. It absolutely works. And if you don't believe me, go check out some of the other websites where men talk with other men about this, and you'll hear very similar things.
So you do see it working out then?
I see it if you're able to get a connection going again with her, but then you back off and you don't come on so strong,
okay.
And you do the things I'm saying. I think you're going to be okay, but you need to do a little. You need to be a little subterfuge to
What's
see if you can
again?
Get her back
I heard that
in
term
her.
Before.
You can do a little bit of that game plan to get her back in, and then step back and be cool.
Okay.
And just be relaxed. And she, you know, once because the just because they formed one opinion of you doesn't mean that opinion can't change, and it will.
Okay.
So my read for you is if you do this thing I'm saying, you stand a better than average chance of getting some interest there. And you know that's what can happen. Okay.
All right, well, thanks a lot.
Hey, God bless you, man. Go get her.
Have a good one. All right.
All right. Let's see. We're coming up. It's 11:23. We're coming up. We got about 6 minutes remaining in the show. Let's see. Tomorrow I'm going to be on the air about 8 o'clock Pacific time, so that'll be a little easier on those of you on the East Coast. Step Up Playa, you should call her. Scott Weiss, GHI, says this. Do a little surveillance, but not the stalking kind. That's exactly right, Scott. just, you know, we men have a lot to learn about how we treat women. And they are, number one, women see everything. Number two, they immediately catch on when you're not being who you are. They will immediately sense BS, and their BS detectors are among the finest in the universe. And you can just get so much farther in life if you're just who you are. And, you know, you're not going to appeal to every woman, you know, but you're going to appeal to some. And those are the ones you're aiming for, you know. And so if you just are your best possible self that you can be, you will attract that. And the same thing, you know, goes for women appealing to men. You know, if you're just yourself and show your brightest self, you will attract men. You know, and it goes the same way. But all this artificial pressure with the media, you know, and sex and how we all dress and do all this stuff, and it's nuts, you know. I don't know. I just find that being natural and having a natural attraction is so much better. You know, you get such better results, and that's the real magic with relationships and how things really work. You know, so I love these calls where we get this, you know, and it's stuff that... it's almost too common sense, you know, and I really think that it really is, it's valuable when somebody, like an older man, comes in and says, oh, I've been down that road, here, you know, and then they're like, huh, really, oh, okay, hey, Shaggy, I don't know, anyway, hey, we're, let's see, we got about 4 minutes remaining, let me do the shout-outs here, and we'll start kind of winding the show down. Mr. Chavez says, yes, hang out and be friends, and one day it grows into something more. That's exactly right. Game playing is why women don't respond to men the way they want. Exactly. Exactamundo. So it's just being who you are. And if you take away the, quote, date pressure and just go out for a nice time, the next thing you know, it can turn into something more. And, you know, and we do want love. We want sex. Sex is a good thing. God created sex for a great reason, and trust me, it's the best thing ever. But, you know, putting all the pressure on, you know, on yourself causes you to act unnaturally, and then that causes, you know, people to kind of drive away from you, you know, and that's just not good. You know, we're all meant to have love, you know, that's a good thing. So anyway, let me see here. We got Daniel Adam. First, we have this GRI Soulstream guy. He keeps showing up at list. I don't know why. And Dan Adams is there. And then we got Faith Angel, Gerber Daisy TM. We have a couple of guests. We had a bunch of guests popping in and out, so I saw all you guys. And I'm sure we have lurkers out there. Jeannie Marie is listening in from Georgia. And big hug to you. And I see your little flower now. You got that. Mystic Chava has her little orange thingy. And she's a very wise lady. I like her style. Pressure from Witherside never works either. And I agree with that. Yes, John, very good. he's giving me a little flower there. Mystic Mystic V. I'm not going to even try tonight. And I don't know. And Scott Wise, GHI, Ghost Hunters Incorporated, and they are a great paranormal team on the East Coast. So if you are near Pennsylvania, these are the guys to have do your investigation. Trust me. They are really good. And so check out, go out and Google Ghost Hunters Incorporated. I got a couple of minutes remaining. So tomorrow night we're going to do some more of the same. I'm going to do readings, 8 o'clock, and we'll do some more psychometry games, and we're going to do a little bit of work with this particular toy. I'm just going to do this while we're on. And what that was the PSB7 paranormal device. It is actually a device that does extremely fast scanning of the FM and AM bands, and we're going to try a little bit of work with that tomorrow night. So that should be fun. And that pretty much wraps it for tonight. So, hey, guys, thanks, everybody, for being here tonight. I'm going to go ahead and wind it down and then head up and grab some coffee. So, hey. God bless all of you. See you tomorrow night. This is Soulstream signing off for tonight, and we will see you guys tomorrow. Goodbye now.
Coming to you live from the Haunted Studios here in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio.
Troops is filmed on location with the men of the Imperial Forces. All suspects are guilty, period. Otherwise, they wouldn't be suspect, would they?